Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. It feels like we've been talking an awful lot lately. It's our fifth episode in 4 days, and well, the good news, the Carmelo Anthony trade saga is finally over. That's why we've had so many episodes, because after months, the discussions have finally heated back up again. The bad news, of course, he is not a Houston Rocket. Carmelo Anthony, as of Monday, will be a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder once the trade call is official. A deal going to Oklahoma City for a package headlined by Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a second-round draft pick. A very underwhelming return. It's a return we actually speculated on, the Kanter being the headliner, in our show this morning when it was revealed that Oklahoma City was one of the other two teams, along with Cleveland, that he would now accept a trade to. A very similar package to what I believe the Rockets were offering with Ryan Anderson, but the big deal is that Enes Kanter's deal likely expires in 2019, whereas Ryan Anderson goes through 2020. Both fairly similar players, offense-first big men, though Kanter's a 5, Anderson's a 4, Anderson better shooter, Kanter a better post player, Anderson actually a slightly better defender. But the bottom line, both overpaid at $18, $19 million a year, but one expires a year earlier, and for purposes of the Knicks' rebuilding plan, then they opted to go that route because the exact skill sets matter less than just the sheer cap impact. And so they went for the cap savings. But the big story in this is that Carmelo did, in fact, blink. It was a little bit unclear last night exactly what was going on because the stories were so all over the place, as evidenced by Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, reporting that the Knicks were trying to get a wing scorer to replace Carmelo, salary cap relief, and draft assets. I know technically they can say that's what they got from Oklahoma City, but that's bunk. Doug McDermott is not a Carmelo replacement. That's just ridiculous. Enes Kanter is certainly not cap relief going through 2019. He's cap relief if you compare him to Ryan Anderson, perhaps, but that's about it. It's about the same as Carmelo, if not later. And the draft pick is not even a first-rounder. So it was a confusing report last night, but the detail of Cleveland, Oklahoma City being the teams that he would now waive his no-trade clause for were indeed accurate, and now Carmelo is going to Oklahoma City, where he'll join up with Russell Westbrook and Paul George at a 47-win team from last year that now appears much improved, although certainly so are the Rockets, and the Rockets coming from a 55-win basis last year rather than 47 like the Thunder. Rockets also beat them 4-1 in the first round of the playoffs. As far as my initial thoughts on this, certainly it stings a little bit. I never thought this was impossible. I thought it was unlikely, but at the end of the day, Carmelo did blink. That's the story here. Carmelo wanted Houston. It's clear that was his preferred destination. But when push came to shove, when the deadline came, and as I said this morning, the real story, it was all BS, what the Knicks were saying Friday morning. It's amazing. That was just 24 hours ago when they were putting on a show about being ready for Carmelo to report to camp. Of course, that was all an act. They desperately wanted to move on, and so did Carmelo. But Carmelo was desperate enough that he was willing, at the 11th hour, to open up his trade list to more possibilities, and ultimately, that got the deal done. And my sense is that if Carmelo had held firm, I think he might have gotten his way to Houston, but ultimately, I think he feels like he's been mistreated a long time in New York, and he just couldn't stomach that risk. And even though I wanted him to take it, even though I think it may have gotten him to Houston, ultimately he wanted out of New York bad enough that he blinked before the Knicks did. And it's unfortunate, but I'm not going to sit here and blame the guy. I've seen some Rockets fans saying that, oh, they should boo him. I wouldn't do that. Folks, it would have been nice if he held firm on Houston or nothing else. But when you consider all the drama, all the nonsense he's been through in New York over the past few years, I wish he were a little better, a little more ruthless negotiator. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to complain on him too much for opening up that list. It's easy for me to say when I haven't been in his shoes and been through all the ridiculousness that he's been through in New York the past few years. He's a guy who I'm sure just wants to get back to playing basketball and having a chance to play on a competitive team. So I don't think blaming Carmelo is fair, but at the end of the day, that is what happened. Carmelo blinked. He wanted to go to Houston, but when push came to shove, he simply wanted out of New York more than anywhere else. And when it came down to the choices, the Thunder just had a slightly easier path. The Knicks did not get a lot of value either way, but the Thunder just had a slightly easier path because the main salary package, Enes Kanter, was just 1 year less than what the Rockets would have sent out in Ryan Anderson. And ultimately, that was enough to win out for Oklahoma City. It's a scenario I was not expecting. It's disappointing, but I definitely didn't think it was impossible. And unfortunately, sometimes in big business, and especially in sports, you win some such as Chris Paul, and you lose some such as Chris Bosh, and now Carmelo Anthony. Before I go too much into the implications, what I think happened, the one thing I want to do is I really want to defend the journalists that have done great work on this story for the last 3 months. I know it had an unfortunate ending for us here in Houston, but I'll start with my buddy Jay Sports up in New York. Shoot, I'll throw myself in here, what I've said, all the other journalists that have been all over this story for 2.5 months. Folks, if I got your hopes up and you feel let down, I apologize. I don't want to make you feel bad. However, I don't think I was wrong in the story. I don't think Jay Sports was wrong in the story. I think, by and large, much of the reporting going back to July was accurate. Sometimes things just change. Sometimes people change their minds, and ultimately that's what happened with the Knicks. It also happened with Carmelo, who at the 11th hour, once he got the deadline pressure, decided to open up his list to two more teams in Cleveland and Oklahoma City. Another tiebreaker, it was apparently said that the Knicks wanted to deal and not to the East, so that also led to Oklahoma City getting a leg up relative to Cleveland. And of course, that's a little unfortunate for Houston since the Rockets and Thunder are in the same Western Conference. But I don't have any regrets as far as my covering of the story, and I don't think most people, Jay Sports, all the others that we've grown to rely on these past 3 months, I think it's generally been a well-reported story, and just sometimes things change. I compare it very much, as I said earlier, to Chris Bosh back in July of 2014, and that I don't think Woj and all the other people who said that the Rockets were the strong front runner if LeBron James left Miami, I don't think those reports were wrong. I think that was a likely scenario the entire way. And sometimes at the 11th hour, life throws you a curveball and someone decides to do something different. When you're talking about NBA players, NBA stars are the most sought-after guys on the planet. There is so much competition. There are so many millions of dollars on the line. The competition is ruthless among, you know, some of the best franchises on the planet. And until the ink is dry, we can tell you what the likely scenario is, and you know a lot of times it's going to play out that way, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes you're going to get that curveball in the final minutes, and unfortunately, that's what happened to the Rockets here. Before you get into too much woe is me, I'll remember you did just get, Rockets fans, a top 10 player in Chris Paul less than 3 months ago, so let's not act like that Houston's in this woe is us, let's feel sorry for ourselves. No, I wouldn't do that at all. Chris Paul is a substantially better player than Carmelo Anthony, and the Rockets did secure him over a pretty crowded field, including San Antonio and a potential $200 million offer from his team in Los Angeles, the Clippers. So I don't think it reflects poorly on Houston, the city, Houston, the organization, led by Daryl Morey. Just unfortunately, sometimes in life, things don't go your way, especially when the competition is as high as it is in this case. But from everything I've been told, and I've been honest and forthright with you guys since July, it was likely, but it was, you know, there was always a chance once the Knicks pulled back that it wouldn't get to the finish line. As I understand it, on July 8th, that was the Saturday that the Knicks finalized their deal with Tim Hardaway Jr. As Jay Sports reported, they told Carmelo and other players in the Knicks that he would be dealt to Houston. I believe the Rockets were working a couple of 3 and 14 proposals over the next week, different options for the Knicks. The first option may have fallen apart. There have been some reports that that was Portland. Then Portland turned into tried to become a suitor for Melo themselves. Then the Rockets got some other deals that they were working on. The Knicks had a lot of options. And the way it was described to me by, again, some very, very good Rocket sources was that they thought they were, quote, almost there. They were right on the finish line. They'd been working hard for 3 weeks. It was as far as I reported in July. Melo was looking for a home in Houston. He had actually identified a home and had put in inquiries. Now, he hadn't actually bought it, thankfully, but he had put in inquiries. He had targeted an exact house. This was very far down the line. As Frank Izzola of the New York Daily News reported earlier this week, privately, Melo and his family have already moved on to Houston. I believe that to be true. When Frank Izzola reported on July 12th that the deal was on the 2-yard line, I believe that report to be true. I think all of that was true. I feel very confident that the Knicks told Carmelo that he would be dealt to Houston. It was just a matter of finalizing the actual deal. I think everyone involved believed this to be inevitable. That was the feeling that the Knicks gave them. And for whatever reason, things changed. The Knicks pulled back on July 13th. And while there were some discussions since, they never really got to that serious stage that they got to that second week of July. And as far as the reason, the Knicks in late June, they got rid of Phil Jackson. Phil, I think, had more of an itch to get rid of Carmelo right away. I think that hurt the cause. Steve Mills took on a bigger role, and Steve Mills is not as experienced in big-time basketball decision-making. Then they brought in a new GM in Scott Perry. Any number of things, and it could be a combination of these, led to the Knicks somehow walking back their promise to Carmelo. But ultimately, until the ink is dry, that's what they can do. And as I've said, I didn't think that they would take the hit that goes with, walking back a verbal promise to a guy like Carmelo. I didn't think that was something they were willing to do, but ultimately, and maybe they wouldn't have if Carmelo had held firm, but I think ultimately Oklahoma City, Cleveland, they were good enough situations that rather than go down that ugly road and try and play that game, Carmelo at the 11th hour just said, look, I'm tired of it. I just want to move on and be done with this situation. And ultimately, when the deadline comes, sometimes deadlines force people to do things they wouldn't normally be expected to do. And in this case, Carmelo held firm all summer on Houston, but when push came to shove at that deadline, the Knicks held his feet to the fire and the Knicks won out. They got what they wanted, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the Rockets, but I really I understand those of you that feel bad, but I don't think that any journalist that I've seen regularly on the beat in this story has been that off base. I think the reporting has been pretty good. I think the Rockets were very close. I would say on the 2-yard line is very accurate as far as what I know about what happened those days in early July. And even since then, I think it was a very fair conclusion that as long as Carmelo wouldn't open up his no trade list and he had shown no willingness to do so until the last 24 hours, that inevitably the Knicks would cave and the Rockets would get their man. Unfortunately, sometimes something happens at the last minute, and that's what happened here. And it's unfortunate. I feel your pain. I want what's best for the Rockets, too. But I don't think if you want a punching bag, if you want to be upset, to me, the people to be upset with are in New York that gave Carmelo their word and went back on it. And I guess to a lesser extent, you can be upset with Carmelo if you want for not holding completely firm to Houston as his only destination. But as I said earlier, I don't really think that's all that fair, because we're not in his shoes. It's more just New York. And generally, you would expect executives for a major organization in a major sport to take their word more seriously than the Knicks did. But unfortunately, you're dealing with an organization that has a sketchy history. And, well, in this case, the Rockets got burned. So I guess that's my lead off with this, is that I understand your pain, but I don't think this is a reporting problem. I don't think it was an issue of journalism. I think the reports that this was going to get done were based on very solid intel and were an accurate summation of the situation at the time. It's just until the ink gets dry, there's always things that can happen. And in this case, that's what did. And Oklahoma City wins out for Carmelo, and Houston loses out. As far as what it means and where the teams go from here, I'm going to start with what it means in terms of the organizations, because I know there's a little bit of sting that comes with losing out, especially if you expected to win this race going in. But I think a lot of people, and I expressed this some in my morning podcast after we first learned that Oklahoma City was a possibility, I think some of the what it means are going a little too far. I've seen folks saying, well, Sam Presti closes a deal that Daryl Morey can't, and playing the woe is me card. Well, first, Daryl Morey closed a deal with Chris Paul, who's a better player than anyone Oklahoma City got, and this is a league where top 10 talents win. The Rockets added one this offseason. I don't think Oklahoma City did. Certainly Carmelo Anthony is nowhere near a top 10 player. Paul George, I guess, you might could argue, is on the periphery, but I think based on his full baggage of his full list of work, I think he's closer to 15 to 20 than an actual top 10 player at this point. So Daryl Morey, in a league where top 10 talent wins out, he got the best player. And Sam Presti, again, we're just a year removed from when they threw the kitchen sink at Kevin Durant and still couldn't keep him. So I'm not going to crown Sam Presti over this. The other thing, obviously, at the end of the day, Ryan Anderson's contract was just too difficult to move. And while I understand it's not an ideal contract, it's really not that difficult of a situation other relative to Enos Kanter and the Thunder. Most teams, even good GMs, have at least one mistake. There's just too many contracts to go out. You're going to hit on some and you're going to miss on others. If you only have one really bad contract on your team, you're actually doing a pretty damn good job. The difference, the Rockets just had a little bit worse timing. The Kanter deal expires 1 year earlier, and it just so happens that the Thunder made, I don't know if I'd call it a panic move, but I would call it an impression move. They did it in the summer of 2015. That was the year before Kevin Durant was going to become a free agent, so they knew it was their last chance to impress KD. And Kanter, they gave the 4-year, $72 million deal. A lot of people speculated that it was an overpay at the time, but ultimately did it 1 year earlier because combination of that's when his deal expired and that's when they were at their most vulnerable because they were trying to impress KD. The Rockets were at their most vulnerable in the summer of 2016, which was bad on a couple of levels. It was bad timing, and that's, again, that 2015-2016 year really hurts for the Rockets, that 41-41 disappointment the last year of Dwight. It's the only bad year, really, in the last decade here in Houston. Daryl Morey's had an incredible run, that being really the only disappointment, and it also came at the worst possible time for the Rockets from a team-building perspective because, number one, they would have otherwise gone after Kevin Durant and had a damn good shot. Durant's probably the most influential NBA player there is in terms of your success over the next 5 to 10 years. Durant is that valuable, and otherwise they would have had a really good shot at him based on the comfort he has with the organization, ton of historical prestige. He's got ties to the state of Texas. He's got ties to James Harden. Kevin Durant should have been in play for the Rockets, and they should have had a really good chance for him. But ultimately, as shown by his willingness to sign with Golden State, he wanted to win now. That's all it was about, was winning, and the Rockets picked the worst time to go 41-41 to where even his relationship with James Harden could not overcome what the Rockets' image was at the time. The other difference between 2015 and 2016 was that enormous cap spike in which salaries blew up, the salary cap, there was no smoothing, it went up all out of control, and the deals handed out those first couple of days in July were nuts. It's not just Ryan Anderson. Look at Timothy Mozgov. Look at Kent Bazemore, who almost went to the Rockets. You can see these deals all over the league. You had to pay, and unfortunately, the Rockets going 41-41, and they were approaching a critical point with James Harden, where they had to give him a reason to stay. The Rockets could not sit out. They could not bring back the core of a 41-41 dysfunctional team, all without Dwight Howard, who, say what you will about him, was still a pretty damn good player at the time and a good center for the Rockets. You couldn't just sit out then, or you would have had a problem with James Harden. The Rockets had to pay the market rate and go out and have some wins. They got Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, and ultimately, they weren't bad players. In fact, they were very helpful. In the short term, those guys were a big part of the Rockets kind of rebuilding their culture. They helped to get Nene. That also helped James Harden to sign his first extension in July of 2016. Then those three guys played a huge role in the Rockets rebuilding their chemistry and then having a much better product on the floor last year, winning 55 games, which led to A, the Rockets being able to draw Chris Paul earlier this offseason, and B, being able to lock up James Harden all the way through 2022. So yeah, it sounds easy to say, well, you should have just not signed Ryan to that contract. Well, no, there were a lot of circumstances that forced the Rockets to be aggressive, even if they weren't comfortable. Just, you know, their timing could not have been worse. The Thunder just had a little bit better timing. They were desperate the year before. It was KD's final year. That was also coming off basically a lost season for Oklahoma City, the second to last year for Durant and OKC. That was when Durant had the multiple foot fractures, the Jonas issue, all that kind of situation. The Thunder just had a little better timing. Their mistake with Kanter came 1 year earlier. The Rockets, I don't even know if it's necessarily a mistake with Ryan Anderson, because he's been a good player for you. I wouldn't say it's been a disaster. He's just overpaid, and market forces decided that that's what contracts had to go. That was the going rate, and they went out. The Rockets had to have a win. It's just sometimes those wins it can come at a cost, and in this case, the Ryan Anderson contract was too much, to just 1 year too long. And to me, that's the difference in this deal. The reality, if you're an NBA GM, is that you are going to have one or two bad deals. It's impossible not to do that given, you know, the boom and bust rates of players in the market, prospects, all that kind of stuff. You hope that you hit on more than you miss, and Daryl Morey generally has. Ryan Anderson's just a case where his contract isn't fully in line, and other than Ryan Anderson, there's not really a viable pathway that it would be beneficial for the Rockets from a basketball perspective. And that's the other thing to keep in mind is, and I've said this for 2 months, this isn't me crapping on Carmelo because the Rockets didn't get him. No, I have been steadfast. And you look back, I have explained, I've had podcasts explaining why they wouldn't move Eric Gordon, why they wouldn't move Trevor Ariza, why they wouldn't move Clint Capela. Carmelo is at a point where his name is ahead of his production. This is a guy who was ranked 64th in the NBA rank by the ESPN people for a damn good reason. You might can say it's a little low, but certainly it's not like you rank a guy who's 64 who's a top 10 or 20 player. There are flaws in his game. He's going to be 34 next season. Lateral quickness is declining. Defense is not good anymore. He's inefficient. There are ball-stopping issues. This is a guy who you don't just sell the farm for. This is not Chris Paul where the Rockets move heaven and earth to get that deal done. No, it has to make sense for you from a basketball standpoint. And just like for the Thunder, the only way it would make the Thunder better is if Enes Kanter was the only high-salaried piece that went out. Well, for the Rockets, the only way it would make them better is if Ryan Anderson were the only asset that went out. So ultimately, I don't think that makes Sam Presti any more shrewd or a better GM than Daryl Morey. It's just slightly better timing, and hopefully it works out better for the Rockets in a year. I mean, I guess the upside is that Ryan is going to get more movable as that deal gets down to 2 years and one. But right now, with 3 years left, it was just a little too difficult. And as far as, you know, where the Rockets go from here, what it means moving forward, I'll start with the Chris Paul angle, because that, to me, I tried to push back on this morning, and I'm going to try once again. Folks, there is not a significant correlation between Chris Paul's future in Houston and whether they got Carmelo Anthony or not. And if you want proof of that, I'm going to say two words. Daryl Morey. If there is one thing you should know about Daryl Morey by now, it's that he values NBA superstars more than anything. James Harden and Chris Paul, they may as well be his children. That's how much he values them. He has given them the keys to the franchise. And all these other role players we talk about, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, Clint Capela, whoever the Rockets theoretically could have thrown in to close this deal for Carmelo. If there was any kind of significant risk profile by not adding those guys that it could cost you Chris Paul, you better believe Daryl Morey. You know in your gut from watching Daryl Morey for 10 years that he would have added those guys. I know there have been a few reports about Chris Paul being told when he was signed that they would go after Carmelo. I'm not saying those reports are wrong. What I'm saying is to then make the leap to the Chris Paul is going to leave Houston. I think the Rockets told Chris Paul if they would go after Carmelo, which they did. They thought they had a good shot, which they did. But ultimately, Chris Paul chose the Rockets because of the Rockets as an organization. And the Rockets as an organization are much better than any one decision. The timing wasn't great in this case, but you know what? There's going to be other opportunities. As I said for a while, even if the Rockets had gotten Carmelo, I think he's just a slightly better fit than Ryan Anderson. I don't think he's the final piece that nudges you over the Warriors. He might give you a slight puncher's chance, but you're still definitely an underdog. If you want to get to the Warriors level, there was another move that needed to come regardless of whether you got Carmelo or not. So it's a process, and Chris Paul picked the Rockets because he trusts a long-term process of decision-making. This is a one-time, one-off, you know, can you get a slight upgrade at power forward, Carmelo Anthony versus Ryan Anderson? And if it were bigger than that, if Chris Paul really said that it's got to be Carmelo or I don't want to come to Houston, which doesn't really make sense from a basketball perspective, but you better believe that Daryl Morey would not have blinked to lose a role player for the sake of getting a top 10 player in the league in Chris Paul. It's, in my opinion, I think Chris Paul gets it from a basketball standpoint, and a lot of these banana boat guys do. In general, I think the NBA Twitterverse far overestimates the importance of the banana boat, the teaming up, whatever you want to do it. As I've said before, there are plenty of examples of these guys having opportunities to play together and not doing it. As I said, LeBron left Dwayne Wade in 2014 for a team headlined by Kyrie Irving, who is evidence, it's clear now, he didn't have any relationship with because he thought Kyrie was younger and a better basketball player. That's it. Dwayne was a free agent in 2016 and had an opportunity to be this year as well. And he could have gone to Cleveland either year to team up with LeBron or Melo in New York or wherever the hell Chris Paul has been. And he didn't. He went to Chicago and then re-upped even on a terrible Chicago team. Carmelo's had opportunities before. Chris Paul had an opportunity. LeBron allegedly wanted to trade Kyrie for Chris Paul in June. Chris Paul could have explored possibilities there. He didn't. These guys have had opportunities, and you know, it's not that they don't want to play together. It's not they don't like each other. They would, under ideal circumstances, they are friends. But they are not so close that they allow that to override common basketball sense. They want to play together, you know, if the stars align, but it's not something that just is forcing, it's not something that's consuming them every hour of every day, and they're just dreaming of when they can have every opportunity. No, they've had opportunities, and they want it to work out if it can, but it's not just this priority of, well, it's got to happen. If it doesn't, then we're going to team up somewhere else. No, there have been tons of opportunities for those guys to play together, and generally, it hasn't happened. That's an NBA Twitter fantasy more than it is the reality. I think Chris Paul would have liked it. I think any Rockets fan would have liked it. It would have been a slight upgrade for you at the power forward spot. It would make you a better team. But I think to go from that to thinking that, oh, this is the piece and this is everything for Chris Paul, no, I think that's a little much. I think Chris Paul would have liked the move. I think it was probably told to him that they'd go after him in the process. But I think those of you making it into more than it is are off base. And like I said, the ultimate counter to that is just, it's Daryl Morey. You better believe that Daryl Morey would not let... Daryl Morey has never let a superstar go that he wanted to keep. As I said, those things are like his children. And so to think that Daryl Morey would let a guy like that walk because... for keeping Trevor Ariza or Eric Gordon, I don't buy that at all. The other aspect I guess you could point to from Morey's perspective, and I'll finish up here before then turning the focus back to basketball and moving forward. I've seen some folks say, well, maybe if the Rockets hadn't traded for Chris Paul. I don't really see that making a whole heck of a lot of difference, because either way, you would have to shed those guys to get to the requisite cap figure. If you didn't trade for Chris Paul before free agency, I'm saying, well, you would have had more attractive assets for New York. Well, then you wouldn't have had Chris Paul. If you would have kept those guys, the only way you could have potentially gotten Chris Paul and held some of those more desirable salaries, talking about guys like Pat Beverly, Lou Williams, that you know were not considered toxic with their contracts, I suppose you could have moved Ryan Anderson along with two future first-round picks. And you probably still would have had to, I think, move Lou as well to get near the $30 million range at least to give you a puncher's chance at landing Chris Paul in free agency. But if you do that, A, you're still losing a lot of your contracts anyway. B, you're losing probably two future first-round draft picks in shedding Ryan Anderson to get near that amount. And third, you're by virtue of going under the cap, you're losing your exception. So there's no P.J. Tucker, there's no Tariq Black, there may be no Nene. All the guys you sign with your exceptions by virtue of doing the trade before free agency would be gone. The Rockets did that for a strategic purpose, and unless the Clippers were willing to take Ryan Anderson, and they weren't, you had to basically trade all of those guys, the Rockets did, to make the math work. Otherwise, you would not be able to take Chris Paul's salary of roughly $25 million next season. So I know it's easy to what if, everybody wants something to blame, but I really don't think waiting until free agency is all that different of a scenario, because, well, and even then, yeah, you go under the cap to get Chris Paul. Well, either you're losing the exact same guys you lost in the Clippers deal, or if you lose Ryan Anderson by trading two first-round picks, then how are you going to make the math work for Melo, because his $20 million is the only way you're even in the game for Carmelo in the first place. So either way, there's not really a route to get Carmelo to Houston without giving up a significant salary, a Ryan Anderson-type thing. So, well, Ryan Anderson plus the guys that went out for Chris Paul. Believe it or not, you can't... Chris Paul and Carmelo both make... They make over $50 billion a year combined. That is an enormous amount of salary that has to go out. So even if you reconfigure and you try and sign Chris Paul in free agency, and that may have been even a higher price than his opting in, if you went for the full max, it certainly would have been $35 million a base salary instead of $25. But either way, you can't think of it as, well, one came here and one came there. No, in general, the math is similar. You're going to have to send close to the same amount out as what you take in. And so to lure both Chris Paul and Carmelo, it's incredibly difficult without... it's incredibly, incredibly difficult without sending out all of those guys. So either way, because Chris Paul's situation had to be dealt with earlier because he's a free agent, the Knicks could hold on to Carmelo the entire offseason. As they did, they had the right to. You certainly can't plan on doing the trade first. Then, yeah, there's just no real way to make the math work. It was always going to be very difficult without including Ryan Anderson in one of those transactions, either directly for Chris Paul or indirectly shedding the salary, and the same now that you held Ryan Anderson for a Carmelo deal. Either way, Ryan was a stumbling block, and unfortunately, with 3 years left in his contract, the Rockets just weren't able to move it without paying far too much of a price, and the Rockets decided that Carmelo was not worth that price. And that's what I want to turn to closing out this episode, what it means going forward. It's a hit because I do think the Rockets expected Carmelo and he would have made them a better team. It would have been a nice shot in the arm because we know he's boys with Chris Paul and James Harden. But from a basketball standpoint, I really don't think it's that big of a loss. I don't think going from Carmelo Anthony to Ryan Anderson is really all that different in terms of what you're going to do over the course of the regular season. And in terms of matching up with the Warriors, I don't think either team really has that realistic of a shot, barring injuries. The Warriors are just that good. So either way, the Rockets are still going to be looking for another upgrade to put them over the top. And that's the thing. I hear people say, well, if they can't do this, who can they get? Well, folks, it's not that the Rockets couldn't acquire Carmelo. It's that they wouldn't deal the requisite pieces because they didn't think he was worth it. So it's not a matter of that. As I've said going forward, the Rockets have some pieces. Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, even Clint Capella, if they want to deal Clint, they can make splash trades down the road at the deadline next offseason if they want. If they see a third star, a true third star, not a name only like Carmelo, then they can get in the game. It's just they didn't deem Carmelo worth it. It's not the Rockets are without assets and, well, now they're screwed and everything is over. No, it's a matter of there was a limit to how far they would go for Carmelo. And I don't know who that player is going to be. I think at this point, you're probably going to need to have the regular season play out to see who shakes free. We'll see what dynamics happen around the league. And by January or February, we'll probably have more of a clear view on what the market is. But I don't think the Rockets are done building this team by any stretch. I think Carmelo would have been essentially a Band-Aid. He would have been a 1 year, maybe more than that, depending on, well, probably 2 years, because I don't think Carmelo is going to opt out next summer no matter what, given 1 year, $28 million. But he would have been a short-term Band-Aid, especially at his age, a little better than Ryan Anderson, but he's certainly not a long-term fixture in terms of, wow, this is the third wheel on our core for the next 5 to 6 years. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think the Rockets thought he was that guy. They're still going to be looking for that guy. And yes, it could even include LeBron next summer. And if the Rockets are still the second-best team in the NBA and they can make the salaries work, you better believe that LeBron would still have interest in playing with Chris Paul and James Harden. That is still very much a possibility. So I just want to remind everyone, it's not a matter of the Rockets lacking assets. It's a matter of wanting to make the assets available. They did not judge Carmelo while he would have been an upgrade, enough of an upgrade to be worthy of truly going all in and depleting your role player cast. Because if you deplete your role players for Chris Paul, Carmelo, and James Harden, and then it doesn't work out, well, you know what happens? You're not as good as the Warriors, and you have no real pathway to make future moves because Carmelo is not really movable on his deal, especially with a no-trade clause. At least this way, the Rockets do have options moving forward. As far as what it means on the basketball floor, I've said for the Rockets, again, I've had them as roughly a 58 to 61 team for the last couple of months. That's where a lot of the computer models have them, and those were based on the team as is, without Carmelo Anthony. So they're right where they are. Are the Thunder better with Carmelo? Sure, absolutely. It's a good deal for them. Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott for Carmelo Anthony, yeah, that's an upgrade. That's going to make them better. But I don't think it closes the gap with the Rockets. Now, it does put them closer. It puts them in that 2-4 range, definitely, with Houston, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City. But the Rockets were 8 games better than the Thunder last year, 55 wins to 47, then beat them 4-1 in the playoffs. There was 8 games of separation. Most of the computer models I've seen the last couple of months had the Rockets anywhere between 5 and 10 games better, depending on what model you go by. Yeah, the Thunder got better. They added Paul George, Patrick Patterson. Guess what? The Rockets got better, too, adding Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute, Tarik Black, etc., etc. So both teams got better in the offseason with their moves. And this Carmelo kick at the end, does it close the gap? Yes, it closes the gap. But is Carmelo Anthony at this stage in his career, 33 years old, turning 34 this year, is he at this stage enough to make up anywhere between 5 and 10 games by himself, the difference between Carmelo Anthony and Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott? I don't see it. To me, that is extremely wishful thinking to think that he, at this stage of his career, means that much from a wins and losses perspective. And the other comparison I'm saying, well, you know, the Thunder have 3 stars and the Rockets have 2. Don't do this. You guys are smarter than that. Carmelo is a star in name only. I feel extremely confident in saying that Clint Capella is going to be a more valuable basketball player in 2017-2018 than Carmelo Anthony will be. I believe Daryl Morey when he says Clint could be a borderline all-star player. He's that good. Eric Gordon was actually ranked ahead of Carmelo on the ESPN NBA list, and I think they have a comparable amount of value, especially with how the Rockets play and their lack of guards other than Chris Paul and James Harden. I don't Carmelo is a star in name, but it's not like, well, they have three stars. Houston has two. Game over. Well, first off, I think Houston stars are better. Chris Paul and James Harden, certainly better than Paul George. And with Russell Westbrook now having some knee issues with the PRP, that could be a factor as well. But Carmelo Anthony, don't play this 3-versus-2 game. He's a star in name. He's not a star in impact. Give me Clint Capella over Carmelo this season any day of the week. I would say the same maybe with Eric Gordon. I would say they're in about the same tier. And again, for those of you saying, well, it's sour grapes. No, it's not. I've been saying this for 2 months. If you listen to this podcast, even when I thought the Rockets were getting Carmelo, this is not me changing my tune. I have felt this way for a while. And a lot of analysts do, as evidenced by Carmelo Anthony being ranked 64th in the ESPN top 100. This is not just Rockets fans wanting to rationalize. This is a very real analysis of Carmelo Anthony's play the last two seasons. Then you combine that with the fact that he's 33, about to turn 34. He's not the guy that his name suggests he is. This is not 23-year-old Carmelo Anthony out of Syracuse. So while I think it closes the gap, it makes the Western Conference even tougher, and certainly it's going to make for a hell of a storyline on Christmas night when the Rockets play at Oklahoma City, Chris Paul, James Harden against Melo, Russell, and Paul George. I get that Carmelo is a big name in marketing. He's a big name in the Q score on the Twitter streets. But in terms of actual basketball impact, no, I don't think he's a star player. And while he makes the Thunder better, I don't think he makes up a gap that before today, most fans thought was probably anywhere between 5 and 10 games between the Rockets and the Thunder, and one that was 8 games even before the Rockets got Chris Paul. So get past the names, look at the teams. The Rockets are a lot deeper. The Thunder did actually deplete their depth a lot in these deals, whereas the Rockets, in addition to their starters off the bench, Eric Gordon, P.J. Tucker, Luke Bamute, Nene, Tarik Black for the games that Nene's not able to play, that's a pretty damn good bench. The Rockets are legitimately 9 or 10 deep, and they could still, you know, because they're not getting Carmelo, a side benefit of this, the Rockets are not going to be all the way at the hard cap. They're right at the luxury tax, but they're not at the hard cap. They still have about $7 million in wiggle room, which means the Rockets can be players on the waiver wire during the year. Potential buyouts as well as international signings, they can be active. And they did use the biannual on Tarik Black, so they don't have a huge leg up. But if the Rockets are as good as we think they are in the 60-win range, then yeah, they're going to be a pretty desirable team in their own right. So that's another avenue that the Rockets can pursue for upgrades that when we thought they had Carmelo, it wouldn't have really been a possibility because they would have literally been right at the hard cap. That would have been it because of the $7 million or so increase in salary by virtue of going from Ryan Anderson to Carmelo Anthony. So I think it's definitely a loss. The Thunder got better. The Rockets are still the same, but I think the Rockets had a lot of a cushion to begin with. And as I close out this podcast, that's what I'll remind you guys. The Rockets are still really freaking good. This was a 58-61 team before adding Carmelo. They were already that good based on adding Chris Paul, who is a top 10 player in the league. And the last thing I'll say, and this is just an overall life advice thing, take it or leave it if you want, but folks, I'm seeing way too much on Twitter just walking around feeling sorry for yourselves. Folks, you're fans of a great, great franchise, probably the second best in the NBA right now. It's an incredible roster. Enjoy it. Sometimes in life, you're going to lose, especially in these high-stakes negotiations. But if you run well and the Rockets are by Daryl Morey, you're going to win sometimes too. Yeah, I know. I've seen people saying, oh, they almost got Iguodala. They almost got Carmelo Anthony. Well, guess what, guys? They're nowhere near as good as Chris Paul, who you did get. Sometimes it works out, and we're literally the same offseason. This same offseason, since the Rockets last played meaningful basketball, the Rockets have got maybe the most meaningful free agent acquisition in the history of the franchise. They have had success, and I know it sucks to be let down, and I know there's a thing in Houston because, you know, what happened with Chris Bosh in July 2014 still stings. But folks, the Rockets have a remarkable amount of things going with them. They've had an incredible run over the last 12 months, and they are still a really, really good basketball team. So don't go around feeling sorry for yourself. Don't say, woe is me. Don't say, I'm not going to buy in the next time there are rumors, because I'll just point you to Chris Paul. People in June, God, I pushed it for a couple of weeks. I thought it was a great fit. I thought the Rockets had a real shot. And when it started in June, if you go back to our archives, there were so many people pushing back saying, oh, the Rockets have no chance. Chris Paul would never want to play with James Harden. The Spurs are so much better. The Clippers have more money. And everyone around the league, all of NBA Twitter, even parts of Rockets Twitter, just poo-pooed the idea saying, oh, there's no chance. That's just being a Rockets homer. And then it happened. So it can work out. it just so happens that this time it didn't. And if anything, I'd say feel thankful that the time it worked out were when the stakes were at their highest, because Chris Paul is a way better basketball player than Carmelo Anthony or Andre Iguodala. So I know it feels bad. I know it's not a great day for the Rockets because you had these expectations. Carmelo would have been an upgrade no matter what you think, even if you agree with me that he's not a star at this point. He's still an upgrade over Ryan Anderson. I don't think we can really debate that. So yeah, it sucks. It's a loss. It's not a great day, but I don't get the feeling sorry for yourself. This is a great basketball team that's had a great offseason. Do they still need more work to actually beat the Warriors to get to that next level? Probably, because the bar is so ridiculously high, unprecedented. That's another part of bad timing for this iteration of the Rockets. But folks, as far as needing that next step to get to the Warriors, I don't think Carmelo Anthony was it. It would have been an incremental upgrade, but to truly get to the Warriors talent level, you need one more marquee acquisition, and the Rockets were going to be going after that, whether they had Carmelo or not. So at the end of the day, it's a loss, but I don't see it being this season or franchise-altering thing the way a lot of folks do. You can feel bad about it. It sucks it didn't work out. It should have. I am frustrated the Knicks went back on their word. It sucks that Carmelo did not hold firm to his no-trade clause, only being waived for Houston. You can feel bad, but I would say now don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't be overly pessimistic. You have a lot to be proud of as Rockets fans, a lot of things going right. And unfortunately, it's a high-stakes league. There's a lot of other very good franchises, too, and ultimately, this time, the stars aligned for Oklahoma City, and they got the deal done for Carmelo that the Rockets did not. So, with that said, I'll wrap up now our fifth episode in the last 4 days. Hopefully, we can now all get a little bit of a break. If nothing else, I think we can be happy that the Carmelo trade talks are finally over, and with them over, at least it brings some closure going into training camp, media day Monday, training camp Tuesday. Of course, we'll have full coverage right here at Locked On Rockets, but beyond that, on our show Locked On Rockets on Twitter, we can finally get back to actually talking about the Rockets that we know are going to be on the floor and how this wonderful team is going to fit together. So if nothing else, at least brings closure to these Carmelo sweepstakes, and we'll be able to talk more concretely about who the Rockets have for this season and what the next steps are once we start training camp on Tuesday over at Toyota Center. But for now, hopefully we can all get a couple of days of rest to kind of collect our thoughts before getting back to basketball at the beginning of the week with Media Day. If you want to follow me on Twitter before then, please do, at Ben Dubose. The show is on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. Also email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, or subscribe to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, any of those sources. Just search for Locked On Rockets. You can subscribe to us, give us a good rating. That's how we're able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do. And as I said, the next 24 hours, barring something extraordinary, I don't really expect the Rockets to make any moves. I think they're pretty happy with their roster. This Carmelo thing would have been the cherry on top of the sundae, but I don't think they're looking to make another move. So I don't think they're going to go from, well, we thought we had a move from Carmelo to then doing some other move. No, I think they're pretty pleased with what they have. So I think going into media day, I feel pretty confident it's going to be quiet for the Rockets. If for some reason it's not, of course I'll break in because we are your home for Rockets commentary. I will do my best to be there for you guys. But yeah, I'm certainly fatigued after months of Carmelo watching. And then this weekend for me, I've covered all the Astros games. Been trying to follow Carmelo Gate while also covering the Astros, doing the best I can there. So I'm tired. I'm sure you guys are tired too from nonstop refreshing Twitter. So you know what? Go out, watch some football tonight, watch some football tomorrow. Texans play. Also give Locked On Texans a listen, hosted by Robert Land and Brian Patterson. If you haven't already, they'll have a full recap of tomorrow's Texans-Patriots game. But yeah, as far as the Rockets go, let's all catch our breath. Let's take a deep breath, get some time to reflect. And then Monday and Tuesday, let's be excited about this really awesome team that we know is in place and locked and ready to go as the Rockets embark on the 2017-2018 season. So for now, enjoy your weekend, and we'll be back to talking about, well, the Rockets that actually are on the team starting Monday.